Today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the 5th Sunday after the Epiphany. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved in the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if any have a complaint against another. Even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so do you also. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house, coming, said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn. And the wheat gather ye into my barn. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Wilt thou that we go and gather up the cockle? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up together the wheat also with it. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In many stories that we hear and read, it is usually obvious who is the hero and who is the villain. What is interesting about our Lord's parable of the cockle and the wheat is that though we know who is good, the relation between him and the bad is not what you would expect. By that I mean, though the villain means to do harm to the hero, in the end, he turns out to be helping him. In this parable, our Lord tells us about a hard-working farm owner who plants good seed in his field. He plants just the right type of seed, the kind that will grow into a productive and healthy crop. But under cover of darkness, in the middle of the night, when all the farm laborers were resting, an enemy sneaks onto the farm. The enemy trespasses and goes into the farmer's fields to oversow cockle, which is a noxious weed. The enemy does this to smother the good crop and to ruin the produce of the honest farmer. After some time, both the good seed of wheat and the destructive seed of the cockle sprout up together. Now, cockle grows very quickly, and tends to choke any crop next to it. Thus, when the farm laborers see the sprouts of cockle covering the field, surrounding and choking all the wheat, they become alarmed. They approach the farmer and ask, "Where did this cockle come from? Did you not have good seed planted in your field?" Knowing that he sowed only good seed, the owner answers, "An enemy hath done this." The farmhand then asks, "Do you want us to root out all the cockle so it doesn't kill the wheat?" And the farmer, who has many years of experience, tells them to leave it. He says, "Otherwise, if you tear up all the cockle, you might tear up the wheat too." The farmer goes on to say, "Allow both to grow until the harvest. Then I will tell the reapers to gather up the cockle first to be burnt, and then to gather up all the wheat to save it in my barn." Just as the good farmer had wisdom and a plan for his field, so Almighty God is infinitely wise, good, and powerful. It is his desire that all men be saved, and in his providence, he makes it possible that all men may reach that goal. Though some men, through their own fault, will not be saved, but will be lost for all eternity. But since God is all-wise, good, and powerful, we might therefore expect to find the universe free from evil. But as you well know, the world is full of moral and physical evil. Moral evil consists in offenses done by men against the moral and ethical law. It is those mortal and venial sins, crimes and wrongdoings done by men. While physical evil consists in evils or misfortunes not dependent on man. They are usually characterized by disagreeable occurrences in nature. For example, when it is frigid, or there is an earthquake or a thunderstorm, when the car engine does not want to start, or when things just do not work out. We would think it unseemly to have these imperfections in the world, since the creator of this world is perfect, is all good, and has the power to control these things. However, evil exists, not in spite of his goodness, but on account of his goodness and wisdom. First of all, as the church teaches, physical evil is partly a punishment for actual sin. Moreover, it serves to sanctify the good and helps them attain eternal salvation. Though the heat, the cold, hurricanes, and power outages are distasteful, their existence is tolerable when, with a supernatural perspective, we realize they are meant to profit us. Now, moral evil is sin, and in no way does God positively will that there be sin in the world. But moral evil exists because of the choice of the wicked. Men use their free will to choose to do evil and offend God's laws. God tolerates this offense against himself because he created man with a free will. God does not force men to love and obey him. Otherwise, this force would not be true obedience or true love. Both physical and moral evil, then, are permitted by God to bring good unto men. This is what our Lord's parable of the good seed and the cockle means. In the parable, the sower represents our Lord himself, God the Son, who became man to reap the harvest of our souls. The field where the seed is sown is the world. This earth where we are proven to be saints or not. The good seed which the sower plants symbolizes the just, those who cooperate with God's graces and come to fruition in eternal life. Everything is going well until the evil man comes on the scene. The enemy represents evil in the world, or even the devil himself. Thus the cockle symbolizes wicked men who voluntarily yield to the influence of the devil and to their own evil passions, or who try to lead the good into sin, or who oppress the good for one reason or another, and in this way they violate the law of God. With this parable, then, our Lord explains that evil does exist in this world, but that we are to learn how to bear with evil for our own good. In other words, our virtue is to be strengthened and increased by the persecution we endure. And our divine sower also leaves the wicked in this world, so that our prayers and examples may help to convert the wicked and save them from their destruction. In light of this, we must understand and have confidence that God, in his infinite wisdom and power, can bring good from evil. When it seems then, my dear faithful, that evils are sprouting up all around us, let us not be surprised, let us not give in to anxiety, and let us not add to the evil by becoming angry or impatient. Thus, when things are hard and times are difficult, when we have to suffer some injustice from someone, how we must understand that God allows this injustice, this cross, this suffering for us. And how we must heed the salutary advice of St. Paul: be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. To do this, do two things. First, cheerfully bear physical evils as help unto sanctification, to becoming a saint, while remembering that the clouds and the showers in April will bring the blossoms and the fruit in May. Second, when we see moral evils choking our world, pray for the wicked and patiently bear the trials which you suffer as a result of sinners. And pray for fortitude for yourself to persevere on the path of virtue. Thus cheerfully bear your sufferings and pray for those who cause you to suffer and for grace for yourself. In this way, we can do our part as God brings good out of evil. Let us then remember that the sower of the good seed has a purpose. We ought to have the utmost confidence in the almighty power and wisdom of divine providence, and in the caring vigilance and intercession of Our Lady. Our Blessed Mother would never let her children go through any trial without her help. With her protection and trusting in the providence of God, no matter what evils we may face, we will not be overcome by evil, but we will overcome evil by good. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.